The Rishonim says in the end of Maseches Pesachim that one is not permitted to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So even though the Rishonim only speaks about the prohibition being on Erev Pesach itself, that's the issa of the Ikra Din. There is a minig that many people have of jumpstarting a little bit in the Sisar. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that there are some who refrain from eating matzah the entire month, not the entire month, but until Pesach, after Pesach. Starting to say that you can eat matzah. But until the Leil HaSeder, so those who have a minig not to eat matzah, there are those, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote this minig, but there are those who have a minig not to eat matzah ready from Purim. So where do these different minhagim come from? So the Gemara says in the first Berakh Maseches Pesachim that there was a machlekes atanoim. When is the earliest time that a person has to start to get ready for Pesach? There's a din of, we're familiar with the din of Shalom V'dar Shemuch, the Pesach Shloshim Yom. The 30 days before Pesach, you have to start a Benetia Shaila to discuss and to learn already the sugyas of Ilchas Pesach. So the Gemara quotes the Machlokes HaTanoim, is that really the shir? Is the correct time really 30 days? And maybe the correct shir is only 2 weeks. The Gemara is after from Sukkim, what the source for this din would be. So according to the way we paskin, it's Shloshim Yom Kedem Achag. And there's one time, Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says, no, it's only 2 weeks, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, again, depending on Pesukim. And the Gemara says that Sholem V'Dorish Shebuchas HaPesach, Shloshim Yom, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Acharonim who write, that Chiyav of Sholem V'Dorish is not a Chavis HaYochid. It doesn't mean that each person has to be involved in learning Yom Pesach. I'm still learning Maseches Kedushin, so I want to learn Maseches Kedushin, so I don't want to be learning Maseches Pesach right now. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that for the Yochid, so the Chiyuv to learn Maseches Pesach is only on Pesach itself. The Gemara says that Moshe Tikkun Lam Yisrael, Shu Dorish Maseches Pesach, Pesach is Chag B'Chag, Yichud Atzeres B'Atzeres, etc. There's a special din that everybody has to learn in Yonah Diyoma on the Yontif itself. The fact that you have to be Sholem V'Dorish and Shlesh Me'ayom, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machrayim right, that's not a chiv on Kol Yochid V'Yochid, that's a chavis atzibor. That means that the community has to make sure that the resources are available. The rabbi has to speak about it in Yonah Diyoma. When the Balabatim come to the Shir, that's up to them. But Zechavis HaTzibar, it's like Kriyas HaTorah, according to some. The Tzibar has to make sure that there's Sholem V'Darsha taking place. But each Yochid V'Yochid comes or not, so whether he wants or doesn't want to. So but each Yochid V'Yochid has to learn at least on Pesach itself. I was reading, and there's a book that came out about some of the interesting stories about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. So it has some very fascinating stories in there. So there are a lot of stories about Volozhin, because Reb Chaim said Shir in Volozhin for many years. So in one of the stories about Volozhin, so it says that in Volozhin there was a daily Shir. It's every day that Tzim said a Shir, or Reb Chaim, whatever it was, different kufas, different people saying a Shir. And it was Chok V'Layah, but the Shir was said every day. But it made ha'ara on the bottom that not everybody came to the shir every day. It says it wasn't expected, it wasn't forced attendance at the shir in Volozhin. So it gave in the bottom, it said it was a mashal, it was like a chavis atzibor. It means that the shir had to take place. Whether anybody came or not, that was up to the stubborn people did come. But no one was taking attendance in Volozhin. So the same is true, the Mishnah Berurah says, when it comes to the Sholem V'Darshan, Karma Pesach. So we're definitely within that window already of Sholem V'Darshan, Bukhas Pesach. According to all opinions, whether it's Shloshim Yom, it's Shloshim Yom, whether it's 2 weeks, so it's we're for sure within that window. So therefore, it's appropriate for us to give a shiur about in Yonei Pesach. On the other hand, we're in the middle of learning a Seder Kavua, Maseches Kedushin. So just stop Seder Kavua, just to talk a little bit Pesach. So I thought we'll try to Efshel Lekayem Shneim. So we'll try to get a little bit of both. So we'll speak about a short sugya today that has aspects of Echos Pesach to it and has aspects of Maseches Kedushin to it as well. So the Rishalmi that we started off with, the Rishalmi tells us that one is not permitted to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. And the Rishalmi gives what appears to be a very strange mashal about this issur. The Rishalmi says that anyone who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is kibbol arusasa beveis chomer. It's like the person is violating the isra of arusa. One of the world is arusa, so we're learning kiddushin. We should know what that is already. So the din is that when you're makadish and isha, so once you give a keser shtar biya, she becomes the status of erusin. She becomes an arusa, and she's kind of married to you. At least, let's say the marriage wants to break up at that point, so you require a get. So if she's mezadim with somebody, that's an isser of an isser misa. That would create Mamzeiris. There's a real din of Eish Azish. So when the moment that she receives Kedushin, she's considered to be an Eish Azish. But she's considered to be what we call an Eish Azish Shalom Beveis Baila. She's not yet living in her husband's house, so therefore she's considered to be an Arusa. And something has to take place first in order to transform her from being an Eish Azish Shalom Beveis Baila to being an Eish Azish Beveis Baila. What has to happen? What has to transpire is she has to enter into Beis Baila. So we learned a little bit about this in the past. That's where the notion of chuppah nisuin comes in. That everyone agrees that there's a...
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So everybody agrees that there's a din deraisa of arusa, there's a din deraisa of nesua, there are nafkaminas midaraisa for the dorim and for yerusha, tuba, etc. There are a lot of nafkaminas deraisa, and everyone agrees there's some kind of a procedure called nesuin, and we learned the sugi a couple of weeks ago about the sugi of chuppah. We're not sure what that procedure is. Everybody agrees it has something to do with being machnes ala beis baila. That's understood. That's of course what the goal is. How do you do that? So some rishonim said, so you go home together as chasan and kai, go home as husband and wife. That's called kenisa l'chuppah. That's what the Ran said. And the Rambam says, you don't have to literally go home. You have to go into makeshift home. You have to go for a yichud. It's got to be a yichud or a lebiya. And there are more quotes. You have to stand under a symbolic home, under a canopy together. That also looks like a home. So everybody agrees that the idea of nesuit is a kenisa l'rishus baila. How exactly you pull it off, so that's a little bit unclear in the rishonim. But everybody agrees that there is a din deraisa called arusa, a din deraisa called nesua. But what's not clear is whether the iser to be bol arusasa. The Gemara speaks about that there's an iser to be bol arusasa. We speak about it in the brachas under the chuppah. We say v'asalaras arusos. So what exactly is that? Is that an iser deraisa? Is that only an iser b'derabbanan? That's not clear in the Gemara. So most of the Rishonim assume that that's only an iser b'derabbanan. That's what the Rambam writes, that the iser arusa is only b'derabbanan. How could we mention it in the bracha under the chuppah? We say k'dishanam mitzvayse v'derabbanas arusos. That's not a problem. We say asher k'dishanam for many mitzvahs b'derabbanan. We make a shirk in the shana before we light Chanukah candles, before we read the Megillah. We're going to eat maror, unless Heiri Bana Mikdash, we'll have a base of Mikdash, but otherwise maror will only be midirabanan. And we still recite a shirk in the shana between 17. So the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos that you can say a shirk in the shana when didim dirabanan, because they're all included in the Sasser, that the Rabbanu Shalom required of us, commanded us to follow the didim dirabanan as well. So we could say with a straight face a shirk in the shana between. That's the pashtas. When we make that bracha under the chuppah and we say Asher Kiddushan Mitzvahs 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 Mitzvahs, the pashtus says the Isra is only Midrabanan. Not everyone agrees to that Rambam. That's what the Rambam says. Depending on what you think about that Isra of Arusa is going to impact on what you think about the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. If you hold that the Isra of eating matzah on Erev Pesach is only if you hold that the Isra of Arusa is only Midrabanan, then the mashal to matzah and erev Pesach is also on the midrabanan. So the prohibition of eating matzah and then erev Yom Tov would only be a nisa midrabanan. That's the pashtus in the poskim. If you hold like that opinion, we showed him there's a shit mekubetzas and ksubas that says that the issue of an arusa is a nisa deraisa, so that it would follow that the mashal that Chazal gave us would be also a nisa deraisa. There would be some kind of a Torah prohibition of eating the matzah a little bit too early. Where would that come from? What kind of nisa could that be? Where in the world does it say anything in the Chumash about not eating matzah on Erev Pesach? If it's derabbanan, so I understand the Chum made it up in order to make a hecker, in order for people to remind people that up until now matzah was a rishus, now it becomes a chova, so we want to make a little bit of a break in the action. So in derabbanan, they instituted not to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. But if you hold that, it's a nisa deraisa. Where in the world could that come from? So it's probably part of what the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that you're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach with Yod Yom. It says in the Chumash, "V'ochlos abosa b'layla zeh." So the Gemara dashes b'layla zeh in Yod Yom lo. Korban Pesach is a strange Korban because usually when you bring a Korban, you shech the Korban, you finish the Avodas Adam, you eat it right away. It's a Korban Shlomim, so you start eating it right away. A Korban Chatas, the Kohanim start eating it right away. A Korban Oshem, Kohanim start eating it right away. So usually a Korban is eaten immediately. As soon as the Avodas Adam is over, you put the Chelev on the Mizbech, and sure, then you start partaking of the Korban. So Korban Pesach is the only Korban, there's a break, that you do the Shechitas HaKorban, you do the Zrikas Adam, you do the Hektach HaLavim, and then you wait, and then everything's put on hold until the night. Why is that? Because it says Matar, V'ochos Avosa B'layla Zeh, B'layla Yes, but maybe Adyo would be an Isser Aseh. So maybe that same type of an Isser Aseh would apply to Matzah also. It says in the Torah, Be'erev Toch L'Matzah, so maybe there's some kind of a Drasha. Be'erev Yeh, maybe Adyo M'lo. We don't have record of this Drasha. We don't have a Gemara that says it. There's no Yerushalmi that says it. But we're guessing that if you hold that the Isser of an Arusa is an Isser Deraisa, then the Moshul, the parallel to Matzah, would probably be Deraisa also. But we don't hold this way. Mikra, then we hold it the Rambam. That the Yisra Arusa is on a Midrabanan, therefore the Yisra Vechilas Matzah is on a Midrabanan as well. Before Erev Pesach, the worst it is B'Torah's Minhag, but the Ikra Din is that on Erev Pesach, it's in fact also Ikra Din, either Midrabanan like most, but maybe a Midraisa. what is included in this prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach? What kind of matzah is included? So there is a Chiddush of Rabbi Natam that appears in the very end of Maseches Pesachim. Rabbi Natam is bothered with the famous Mishnah in the beginning of Erev Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Erev Pesachim samach l'mincha l'yachal adam, that a person is not permitted to eat late in the afternoon, half hour before Mincha Ketana. One is not allowed to eat late in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. Kadesh yikonis l'matzah k'shu b'taiva, that you should, when you eat the matzah finally, you should eat it with a geshmak. You should eat a lot of matzah. Some poskim say that you should mamish try to encourage a person to eat more matzah. That's what k'shu nichas l'yantav k'shu taiva is. You should try to encourage you to eat more matzah. And others say you're not mechuyav to eat more than a kazayas, but at least that kazayas should be excited. You should be hungry. You should have a good appetite. Whatever the pshat is, that there's an issa but the rabbanon to eat late in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. So Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, what are you not allowed to eat exactly? What were Chazal referring to that's prohibited to eat Erev Pesach in the afternoon? So Tosfos says, to eat chametz, that's out of the question already. Chametz is also ready from the morning. To eat matzah, so Tosfos quotes the Rishami. Rishami says that you can't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Ba'ol ha'rasasa ve'es chamiv. So what's left? So what's left is snacks, chocolate, potato chips, fruit, nash, that kind of stuff. So Tosfos quotes from the Gemara Pesachim, but you're allowed to eat those kind of things. The Gemara says, "Beferish betavim minik tagima." You're allowed to nash on Erev Pesach. So what is there? We're not sure what the Mishnah is referring to. It says lo yoichal. So Rabbi Natam says it must be referring to a type of a food that's very filling, but wouldn't be neither. It's not a snack food. It's really a filling food, but it's not matzah and it's not chametz. What kind of filling food is it? It's not chametz, not matzah. It must be where Rabbi Natam says matzah shira. It must be what we call egg matzah. It must be that it was flour mixed with fruit juice, which is not included in either the Yisra of Chometz nor in the Yisra of Matzah, and it's not meaning Tagima, because it's a filling kind of a food. So that's what the Mishnah means, you're not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach late in the afternoon. Why exactly is the egg matzah not included in either Matzah or Chometz? So from the Chometz vantage point, so Rabbi Natan makes reference to the Gemara back in the second parak of Pesachim, where the Gemara says that May Peres Ein Mechmitzin. If you take flour and mix it together with fruit juice, so it doesn't become chametz anyway. What we call egg matzahs is that, may pair, it's really apple juice matzah. Most of our egg matzahs are made up of apple juice matzah. So if you take apple juice or you take grape juice and you mix it together with flour and you make a mush out of it, so the Gemara says, eimach mitzin, it's not going to become chametz anyway. So therefore, it wouldn't be us to eat on Erev Pesach. It wouldn't be us to eat on Pesach itself. We have a minhag. The Ramah quotes a later minhag that Rabbi Natan may or may not have followed. The Ramah quotes a later minhag in the Ashkenazi communities that we don't eat matzah ashira on Pesach, the entire week of Pesach. Because even though the Gemara says, my parents eimach mitzin, that must be Rabbi Natan himself, who says earlier in the Masechta that that's only true if there's no water at all. But if there's a little bit of water in it, so then it can become chametz. And not only can it become chametz, it could potentially become chametz faster than a regular dough. So Rabbi Natan has a chumra, has a kulin chumra, nuchlas egg matzah. He says that as long as there's no water in it, it's hetter gomer. You can eat whatever you want. But if it has water in it, then you have to be very, very careful and make sure to bake it really, really quick. And we're not even sure how quick is quick. So therefore, the Ramah quotes that we have a practice that even though we're very, very careful, if and when we would ever bake egg matzah, we'd be very, very careful that there's no water around. It's only fruit juice. But afa b'chein, that we're nervous, we don't want to take any chances. Therefore, we have a minhag not to partake of egg matzah the entire week of Pesach. The Ramah writes, since it's only a minhag, mikra din, as long as you're careful, there's no water got mixed in, mikra din, it's okay. Therefore, the minhag was only instituted if it's not a situation of a chola. If you have an older person or an ill person who has trouble chewing, trouble digesting the regular matzahs, so then for them, they could rely on the ikra din, as long as you're careful not to mix any water in. So Rabbi Natan is working with the assumption that egg matzah is not really chametz. It's not a real concern of chametz. It's maybe a minhag, but it's not a real concern of chametz. So Rabbi Natan is quoted by Tosfos as saying that it's mutter to eat egg matzahs on Erev Pesach until late in the afternoon. After 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then you're not allowed to eat egg matzahs. That's the lo yochal adam sabach l'mincha lo yochal ad shetechshach. But before that, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, one would be permitted to eat egg matzah. It's not a concern of chametz. And then Rabbi Natan turns around and says, and it's not a concern of matzah either. Why is it not a concern of matzah? So Rabbi Natan says, because you can't be yotzei by the seder with it. Because the Gemara says in the second parak of Pesachim, the Torah describes matzah as being lechem oni. So lechem oni means it has to be plain, simple, poor man's bread. It's got to be flour and water. If you start to mix in other things, you make it more exotic. You pour some apple juice, some grape juice, other things into it. So that's no longer called lechem oni. And therefore, you wouldn't be yotzei b'di'evad. You wouldn't be yotzei to seder with it. So Rabbi Natan says, nimtza chumra kulo. because you couldn't be yaitzei matzah with it, therefore it is not included in the iser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. The only type of matzah you're not allowed to eat is a type of a matzah that you could be yaitzei the mitzvah with. A type of matzah that you couldn't be yaitzei the mitzvah with was never included in the iser altogether. So Ben Atam says, egg matzah slips in between the cracks, get the best of both worlds. It's not really chametz, except for maybe a minig of the Ramam later. So it's not really chametz. On the other hand, it's not really matzah either, because it's not called lechem oini. So therefore, mikra din you could have it for lunch on Erev Pesach, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Once it reaches samach l'mincha, then you should refrain from eating the egg matzah, because you shouldn't fill up, you shouldn't be able to become too stuffed to be able to eat the matzah at the oven. So this Rabbeinu Tam is a big chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam says that the isser of eating matzah on Erev Pesach only applies to a matzah that's roi lekach to be yaitzei the mitzvah. If for whatever reason the matzah is not roi lekach to be yaitzei the mitzvah, so then it would be okay to eat. So it's based on this Rabbeinu Tam that Shulchan Aruch we paskin like this Rabbeinu Tam that one is permitted to theoretically eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. We have a minhag as Ashkenaz and we don't eat egg matzah the whole week of Pesach. And according to most, we don't even eat it on Erev Pesach, not because of matzah. We don't eat it because of chometz. We are concerned that maybe in the off chance some water got mixed in, so we refrain from eating it even on Erev Pesach. Most have that practice. There are some who say that the minhag was only instituted on Pesach itself, but most of us follow the practice that we don't eat egg matzahs as a chumrah even on Erev Pesach, but we would eat it in the morning. Let's say the person wants to have breakfast, wants at 8 o'clock in the morning. Let's say Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so a lot of people like to do this, like to eat egg matzahs. So that would be okay, because we follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam, that since the egg matzah is not roi lekach to fulfill the mitzvah, so it's not part of the iser of oichel matzah on Erev Pesach. So there are those who are ma'orer that this may not be correct, because what we call egg matzah may not be the equivalent of the Gemara's matzah shira. The Gemara says that if you take flour and mix it with different kinds of fruit juices, different other liquids, so that's called matzah shira, and you couldn't be yaitzei. So the Gemara gives a few different examples in the second Berakha Pesachim, what's called matzah shira. So the Gemara talks about mixing the flour with wine. That's considered to be matzah shira. Then the Gemara speaks about mixing it with oil, shemen. That's considered to be matzah shira. The Gemara talks about dvash, honeys. And the Gemara talks about mixing it with milk. The Gemara says those are the four things that are considered to be matzah ashira. When it comes to milk, the Gemara raises the question, isn't that treif? Whenever you make milchik bread, so that's also midrabanan. There's an issa midrabanan to eat milchik bread as a gezeira that you may come to eat it with fleishiks. Even if I'm personally going to be careful, I'm not going to put my kol cuts on the bread. There's still an issa midrabanan. Chazal asad milchik bread as a gezeira, lest you come to eat it with fleishiks. So how could the Gemara speak about making milchik matzahs? The Gemara quotes one of the Tanoim who made milchik matzahs for during the week with Chol HaMoed. At the Seder, you couldn't do that, but during the week, it's matzah shira, it's okay. So the Gemara says that as long as you do it in a little bit of a different manner, what does a different manner mean? So some Rishonim say you make a very, very small amount. You make one matzah, you don't make 20 matzahs. You make one small matzah, so then I know I'm going to make one matzah, I'm going to eat, put my cream cheese on, I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to have any leftover matzah. That'll be a chashash that I'm going to eat it with flesh. As long as it's a dafa muat, that would be all right. Other Rishonim say that you have to bake it that it looks different. You have to bake it in a triangle, to bake it in a different shape, that everyone will realize that this is a strange matzah. This is considered to be a milchik matzah. No one's going to make a mistake of eating it with flesh. So we don't do that. We don't bake milchik matzahs anymore. We follow the Ramo, who says that we wouldn't eat milchik matzahs because they would be matzah shira on Pesach. But we do, this Gemara is important for us. And during the rest of the year, because we sometimes do make milchik bread kinds of products. So when you make any kind of milchik bread kind of a product, you have to make sure either it's a davar muat, whatever that means, or it has to be something that's done derech shinoi, whatever that means. That's a big machlokes in the contemporary poskim about just how realistic some of the shinoyim are. So one of the big shailas that comes up in terms of croissants. So croissants are a big shayla, whether croissants are kosher altogether, even if they're under kosher ingredients. What are they bechal kosher? If they're milchik croissants. So there are those who raise the red flag about all croissants that are milchiks because it's mamish milchik bread. It's bread. People make sandwiches out of it. People put meat on croissants. At McDonald's, they make bacon on a croissant. People put fleishiks potentially on croissants. So anything that's made in such a way that it could be used as a meat sandwich is a problem. Eloa, those who wanted to defend croissants, they wanted to argue, no, because it's nikar. It's nikar liayin. Everybody knows that a croissant is milchiks. That's true, Kol's man, that all the croissants are milchiks. But now some of the places make parva croissants because they don't want to get involved in the shiloh. So now they make parva croissants. So that makes it worse for the milchik croissant people. So now when I see a croissant, I have no idea what it is. Maybe I'll think it's a parva one. So that's a shiloh. So there are those who ask that all the milchik croissants. They're all awesome because they're all milchik bread. And most of the kashrus organizations didn't follow that. The regular standard kashrus places today don't assume like that. I'm not sure why not, but they assume that that this is all okay, that it's still nikkel yayin, and everybody knows it's yikur sa'at, you think of it as being milchik. This was part of the shiloh with the English muffins years ago. Years ago there were issues with the English muffins. If I'm not mistaken, I think the English muffins now have significantly less milk in them. It could be that the milk may be both of a shishim as possible, I don't know. But years ago there was a big tumble with the English muffins, so those who wanted to ask for all the English muffins because they were mamish milchik bread. And others wanted to argue, you know, when you see an English muffin, that's like nikolai, and so you know that it's not considered to be milchiks. So that whole sugya starts with the milchik matzahs, because I think Rabbi Shur ben Levi, if I'm not mistaken, used to make milchik matzahs for Chol HaMoed, used to put cream cheese on for the kids. So the Gemara explains how he did it in such a way that it was nikolai and that it wasn't parva matzah. Anyway, getting back to the story, so the Gemara speaks about four different liquids that could be used to make matzah ashira that would be disqualified for the Seder. So the Rambam, when he quotes this din, says that this is only true for these four liquids. There's something special about these four. We're not sure what it is, but there's something special about these four liquids. But the Rambam says that if you mix flour with apple juice or with other kinds of juices, other fruit juices, so that would not be matzah ashira, and you could be yaitze at the Seder with those things. So that's great for you if you want to have apple juice matzahs at the Seder, but it's terrible for you if you want to eat the Merah Pesach. The whole heter of eating what we call areg matzahs, which are really apple juice matzahs, is based on the fact that you can't be yaitze at the Seder, but according to the Rambam, you could be yaitze at the Seder. So according to the Rambam, you shouldn't be eating the egg matzahs at Merah Pesach. Even in the morning, you shouldn't be eating the egg matzahs. So there are those who were concerned about this Rambam, and they wanted to manufacture egg matzahs that would be mutter to eat on Erev Pesach, according to the Rambam. Why do they want that? When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so a lot of people like to make, a lot of hotels, a lot of places like to make the sudas with egg matzahs. They don't want to bring mamish chametz into the house. So people who want to eat egg matzahs on Shabbos in the morning in Erev Pesach, so that's a problem. According to the Rambam, those matzahs are good l'chadchila for the Seder, because the apple juice matzahs are not called matzah shira. So according to the Rambam, you would have to make egg matzahs out of grape juice. You wouldn't want to make it out of milk. Probably you wouldn't want to make it out of anything else, but out of grape juice. If you make the egg matzahs out of grape juice, so then those would be permissible according to the Rambam standards of egg matzahs. So here, because the Rambam is so makel to use our apple juice matzahs at the Seder, therefore the Rambam would be mach when you can't eat them in the morning in Erev Pesach. So there was a whole run of grape juice matzahs. So when you make grape juice matzahs, you don't want to use purple grapes because the matzahs are going to look ridiculous. They're going to look like purple. So they use white grapes. So they look regular. They look like apple juice matzahs. Look the same. They taste the same. But they're made out of grape juice rather than apple juice. So I think they still sell them even on regular years. If you look around, you find there's certain brands of egg matzahs that are made with apple juice and others are made with grape juice. So the grape juice ones are made to fulfill the Shittas HaRambam. The only problem is that the Rambam wouldn't buy into this whole story because the Rambam disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam holds that when the Gemara says you're not allowed to eat matzah in Erev Pesach, it doesn't just mean matzah shel mitzvah. It means whatever's called matzah. If Lashon B'nei Adam is called matzah, that's also called matzah. The Rambam doesn't quote the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam had a different answer, a different way of understanding the sugya of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Pashas, according to the Rambam, is anything that's matzah is not allowed to eat. So all matzahs are off limits, according to the view of Rabbeinu Tam. I'm sorry, according to the view of the Rambam. So those who are trying to make grape juice matzahs to be yotzei the Rambam, they're not really fulfilling the Rambam. They're fulfilling half of the Rambam. If you want to really fulfill the Rambam, then you can't eat any kinds of egg matzah, any kind of matzah product at all on Erev Pesach. Let's also chaps and afkamina for matzah mevushelas. Let's say you want to eat a knedel. So you want to eat a knedel on Erev Pesach. And let's say it's not egg matzah, regular matzah meal knedel on Erev Pesach at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So is that okay or not? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, of course it's okay. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you couldn't be yotzei matzah with a knedel. So it's called matzah mevushelas. Once you take the matzah and you cook it, so then you can't be yotzei matzah anymore. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's perfectly mutlach atchilat din knedelach. According to the Rambam, that would be a problem. Because according to the Rambam, it's matzah. It's just matzah that was reconstituted, that was redone, that was recooked. You couldn't be yotze matzah with it, but according to the Rambam, that's not the criteria. According to the Rambam, anything that has a shame matzah on it, it was once matzah, it's still matzah. So according to the Rambam, it would be a problem. So the ikra didn't shulchan aruch, we pass like remain tam. So even those people who are machmer for the Rambam, so ad kedekach, you have to be machmer, ner pesach itself. Those people who have a minig of not eating matzah from Rosh Chodesh and from Purim, all these are all minhagim, those are not dinim anyway. So you can eat knedlich. Those who want to eat knedlich tomorrow can eat. Your wife makes you knedels in the soup. You can have a knedel tomorrow. That would be acceptable. There was years ago, one of the hotels in Yerushalayim tried to come up with a stunt. It was when he had an Erev Pesach Chas B'Shabbos. So it's hard enough in your own house to do it. Come home, you have 1,000 guests. It's very hard to start serving challah there. And not everyone wanted to serve the egg matzahs. They're trying to figure out a stunt. So they wanted to bake a whole run of matzahs that were baked shalol l'shma. They would specifically bake the matzahs. So they should not be good for the Seder. So the question was, would Rabbeinu Tam permit those matzahs? So I think the Shabbos sent to Rav Zhulti. Rav Zhulti was the Rav Rosh of Yerushalayim at the time. So he has a whole piece of the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz about that. So maybe one can argue that Rabbeinu Tam was only makil if you bake matzahs, at least they're different, if they taste a little different. If you taste the regular matzah, taste the egg matzah, they taste different. So maybe that was that kind of matzah Rabbeinu Tam was matzah in Erev Pesach. If you have a regular piece of matzah, it mamish looks the same, tastes the same, it's all the same except that you had in mind him mukhu shalol shem matzah. So that's maybe that's also even according to Rabbeinu Tam. So Zhulti has 20 pages to try to understand what would then be according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Rambam, for sure it's also. But according to Rabbeinu Tam and Shulchan Aruch, maybe it would be okay. I don't know whether they actually did or not. I thought it would be a very, very bad idea because it's very easy to confuse those matzahs. You're going to bake 100 boxes which are shalol l'shma and 100 boxes which are l'shma, and then someone's going to mix up the boxes. You can't tell the difference. So the Yontif has a tshuva. If you have three matzahs, two are baked l'shma and one is baked shalol l'shma, whether you say bitl barovana. You don't want to go to a hotel. You're spending so much money on matzahs. You might as well get matzahs. That's good. You get matzahs that relying on vittel barov. It's a modern way to be yotzei achilas matzah. So I don't know whether they actually did it or not. But in terms of lomdus, it would be an interesting shayla. But anyway, the whole thing starts out as a kedushin sugya. I mean, kind of a kedushin sugya, as much as some of the other kedushin sugyas are. That bolar sasa beis chom of the source for the sisser. Going to most, it's only with the rabbanon. Some it's the raisa. And what are the parameters of the sisser? So it depends on some of the rabbanon, the time of the rambam, etc. But again, the isser is only on Erev Pesach itself. What we have is banazem. Most people start earlier. That's only b'taras minig. So the one is not mechuyev to look for chumras in this particular minute. Okay.